All right, so I heard a joke this week, and it made me laugh, and then it made me nervous, because it's about snow. Snow makes me nervous. In Los Angeles, they have a word for the weather that we've been having this week. They call it the dead of winter. All right, so the story goes, this guy is driving home from work one day, and you know, as he's leaving, this just massive blizzard hits. It's snowing like crazy. It's dark. You can't hail. Sure. You can't really see in front of you, I guess. I don't know what that's like. But the guy can't hardly see 10 feet in front of him, but he's trying to stay on the road, and there's just snow everywhere. And eventually, he sees a couple of headlights in front of him, or taillights. I'm sorry, the red lights. It looks a lot of lights. Must be a truck. So he decides to start following the truck. Sooner or later, I'll come out somewhere, like a gas station or something, and I'll stop there until the snow stops. So he follows the truck for a while, and it's going well, actually. The road seems clearer, and the only thing is the truck keeps kind of turning a lot, and he guesses, well, I guess the guy's just going around snowdrifts or something. So after about 15 minutes of this, the truck stops, comes to a complete stop, and the guy driving the truck gets out, and he comes and knocks on the door of the car, the window, and the guy rolls his window down, and the truck driver says, I'm done plowing the parking lot. If you're looking for the road, it's right over that way. Well, that might be my best laugh yet. Thank you. If you guys see Richard or me or Melissa following a snowplow, come get us, please. Finding your way can be tricky. Fortunately, Jesus says, I am the way. Well, this word way is it's actually kind of a tricky word. It can have a couple of different meanings. First of all, the way can refer to a path. How do I get to the airport? Well, you go this way. A map, for example, shows you the way to get someplace, to get where you're going. And Jesus says, I am the way to the Father. I'm the path. But the word way can also refer to the manner in which you do something, how you do something. How do I catch a football? Well, this way. I remember one time when I was, I don't know, maybe 10, and we were at my uncle's house, and we were shooting bottle rockets. And, you know, we'd light the bottle rocket and stick it down in a bottle, and we'd take off running. My uncle walks out, and he goes, he was kind of a rough guy, farmer-y. That's not the way you shoot a bottle rocket. This is how you shoot a bottle rocket. And he takes it and he lights it and he holds it in his hand and he just goes, whoosh, sparks cover his hand. And he doesn't say anything and he walks right inside the house. And I think he just stuck his hand right in the icebox. Maybe that is not the way you light a firecracker. So Jesus is talking about the way. Is he talking in terms of a path, the way to get somewhere? Or is he talking about the manner in which you get there? Both and. To really get into this, let's start with looking at what was going on for Jesus as he said this. This happens at the end of the book of John. There's about three chapters left. And this whole last three or four chapters, Jesus is, it's kind of his last speech, his last chance to teach his disciples. Because he knows what's coming. He's about to be arrested and then crucified. So this passage is all about leaving. Jesus knows what's about to happen, so he says to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. That makes me think they were already troubled. But Jesus knows there's not going to be anything harder for them than this coming experience of being separated. I can relate to that. I've been in the place where I need Jesus to say to me, don't let your heart be troubled. I can certainly relate to that feeling where Jesus seems like he's 1,000 miles away, and I can feel that separation down in my heart. So when Jesus talks about being the way, start right there. Start with that idea of separation. The way is the way to bridge that gap. Now, it's tempting to read this and instantly think that Jesus is talking about heaven. I am the way to heaven. And if you were to ask me if that's what Jesus has in mind, I'd say yes. But there's a whole lot more to the story. If you look in verse 7, which Jannie read, Jesus says, "From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." There's something about here and now when Jesus says, "I am the way." It's not just heaven. It's also right here, right now. You can know God right now. You can discover that connection, the opposite of separation. You can experience that right now because Jesus is the way. So maybe he has a destination in mind, but it's important to remember that the destination is not the way. Let me say that again. The destination is not the way. I think when Jesus says, "I am the way," he has in mind a way of living. I said this last week. I'm sure you all remember. The early Christians were called, remember, anybody remember? People of the way, followers of the way. The people who watched them, they didn't notice really what they believed, but they couldn't miss the way they lived. In fact, you might say that one of the best ways to live is the way of Jesus. We are Christians because we believe that the way of Jesus is the very best way to live. Now, let's be honest. Everybody lives some way. Everybody is on a way, following some way. Jesus invites us to walk in his way. Here's what one of my favorite authors, Rob Bell, says about the way of Jesus. "I'm convinced that being generous is a better way to live. I'm convinced forgiving people and not carrying around bitterness is a better way to live. I'm convinced having compassion is a better way to live. I'm convinced pursuing peace in every situation is a better way to live. I'm convinced listening to the wisdom of others is a better way to live. I'm convinced being honest with people is a better way to live." Over time, when we purposefully try to live the way of Jesus, we start to notice that there's something deeper going on. We begin to realize that this is the best way to live, and it's rooted in the profound truth of how God created the world. It's not just a nice idea. This is reality. I read this week about a guy named A.J. Jacobs. This is him. A.J. decided that for a whole year, he was going to live out everything that he could read in the Bible about how to live. He called it the year of living biblically. So he didn't shave for a whole year. That's a picture of him at the end. He wore white robes and sandals for a whole year. He did absolutely no work on Saturdays. That sounds nice. In an interview after this was over, someone asked him, what was the biggest challenge for you? And he said, "That would be no coveting, no lying, or no gossiping. They're little sins, but they're killers. My year made me realize just how many of these sins I committed every day. And refraining for them for a year was really hard, but completely transforming." They asked him what his biggest lesson was, and he said, "Your behavior shapes your beliefs. If you act like a good person, eventually you become a better person. I wasn't allowed to gossip, so eventually I started to have fewer petty thoughts to gossip about. I had to help the less fortunate, so I started to become less self-absorbed. I'm not Gandhi or Angelina Jolie," his quote, "but I made some progress," he said. Well, there's one way to walk in the way of the Bible. But if that's too hard for you, then for only $9.99, you too can look like Jesus. But acting like Jesus is up to you. Well, you know what? The way of Jesus is not about religion. It's about reality. It's about lining yourself up with the way things are. We can look at the world and figure out how it works. I mean, we're pretty smart. You pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. If you work hard enough, you can get anything you want. If I want to get ahead, that may mean I have to step on some other people's heads. But that's okay, because the end justifies the means. I'm number one, and how you do is your problem. It's a harsh world out there, so look out for yourself first. That's the way the world is, right? At least it's the way the world looks. But running right through the middle of life as we see it, there's this other way. It's the way of Jesus, and it's not so easy to see. The way of Jesus describes a reality that I think we miss all too often. The way of Jesus describes a reality that we only experience when we're walking on that way. The way of Jesus is completely countercultural, but it's completely in line with the way of God. That's why Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." In another place, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." If you want to know God, if you want to experience God, start with me. I am the way. You can't experience that reality. You can't experience that significance and that purpose and that meaning in life until you're walking on the way of Jesus. So what does this way look like? Let me give you a few reminders from the Bible. Jesus kneels before his disciples. He takes a towel and a basin of water, and one at a time, he washes their dirty, crusty, scabby, stinky feet. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, did the very dirtiest job. And then he looked at his disciples and said, "Go and do likewise." In the book of Philippians, it says that Jesus, who was in very nature God, didn't even consider equality with God something to strive for. Instead, he became a servant. He came to serve us, even to the point of dying. And then he said, "Consider others more important than yourselves." Jesus goes to his friend's house, and Mary and Martha are there. Martha's mad at Mary because she's not helping out in the kitchen. Mary chose closeness to Jesus as more important than a busy schedule, a bunch of tasks that needed doing, or the things that a woman was supposed to do. She chose relationship. And Jesus said, "You chose better." The world of Jesus might look upside down to the casual observer. In the way of Jesus, to live is to die, but to die is gain. In the way of Jesus, the first will be last, but the least of these are the most important. Love your enemies and pray for them. Eat with sinners. Embrace and welcome the outcast. Take care of the widows and the orphans, or your big church building is meaningless, maybe even offensive. The thing that looks like the least important thing in the world is the most important thing in the economy of Jesus. That brings up an important point. Janie hinted at this. The way of Jesus is not easy. The way of Jesus involves sacrifice. That might mean giving up some of the things I want because they get in the way of what I really need. That's why we put such a big emphasis on service. Service to the community and service to one another. Our sacrifice enables us to serve. The way of Jesus also involves selflessness. It means considering others more important than yourselves. That's why we put such an emphasis on community and small groups, because we know the other is more important than us, and so we need to be together so that we can treat each other that way. And lastly, the way of Jesus is about surrender. That's really what that prayer was about. It's about opening ourselves to God and saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's why worship and discipleship are so important, because it's there that we find God and are pointed on the way None of that is easy. But the other side of the coin is that Jesus never asks us to get it exactly right. He never says, perfectly live the way. Because truthfully, we never will. We'll never get it just right. That's why the Christian life is best understood as a journey. It's a process. We are on the road. And sometimes the road takes us to some dirty, hard, painful places. Sometimes on the journey, we have to backtrack a little bit so we can try again. Sometimes the journey is right outside our door, but we're just sitting at home. The good news is all it takes is one step to be on the journey. I think that's important because we're not just talking about a way of living. If we were just talking about a way of living, this would be a philosophy lecture. But the way of Jesus includes a couple of really important things. It includes forgiveness of our sins. It includes being united and connected with Jesus and the body of Christ. It includes healing and wholeness. That's why we can walk on the way. And I think that's beautifully illustrated in the story of the prodigal son. I'm sure you know this story. Jesus tells a parable of a young man who goes to his father and he says, I want you to go ahead and give me my inheritance. Whatever it was you were going to give me when I die, go ahead and give it to me right now. So the father does. And the young man goes off to another country and he begins to live lavishly, engaging in every form of self-pleasure that he can find. It doesn't take very long for everything he has to be gone. In desperation, the son takes a job feeding pigs. Eventually, he realizes that even the workers on his father's farm have it better than he does. So he decides to go home. Can you imagine how he felt walking down that road towards his house? Can you imagine the guilt, the embarrassment, the shame? I can picture him walking over that last hill, practicing what he's going to say. Dad, I'm so sorry. I don't deserve anything from you. You gave me so much and it's gone. Will you just give me a job feeding pigs? He walks over the hill and the dad sees him and runs. The dad runs right up to him and wraps him in a giant hug. And the son starts to try to apologize. He says, Dad, I'm so sorry. And the dad doesn't even listen because he's already celebrating. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate my son who's lost his home. Welcome home. Richard Foster, another author, says that God is more concerned with the direction we're pointed than where we are on the road. The prodigal son hasn't done anything right with his life, but one thing. He turned for home. He was looking in the right direction. The world is full of people who are squandering what God has given them. Maybe some of us in this room feel that way. The world is full of people who are hurt and broken, starving, shamed, desperate. There's certainly some people in the room that feel that way, because I do a lot of the time. Can we be a people who run out to meet them, not waiting to hear their excuses, but instead throwing our arms around them and throwing a party for them? The way of Jesus says, welcome home. Let's pray together again, that prayer that Janny led us in. John, can you pull that up for us? Will you pray with me? I am no longer my own, but I am yours. Put me to whatever you will. Join me with whomever you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low by you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And by your grace, may I walk in your ways all the days of my life. Through Christ. Amen. Well, what we're going to do right now, we've tried this a couple of times, and it always is really good. We're going to give you a chance to talk about the way. So what I want to ask you to do is just circle your chairs up, get it together with two or three people. It can just be your family, or it can be a great chance to meet some of the folks around you. A chance for you to apply what we've talked about and think about how God is asking you to go and live the way in the world. I'm going to put up three questions for you, and then I'll just invite you to go and turn to your neighbor and get started. Here's the three questions. What is one part of walking the way of Jesus that is most challenging for you? Number two, what does the way of Jesus look like when it comes to loving and caring for our neighbor? And number three, what does the way of Jesus look like when it comes to our church sharing Jesus with the world?